Toy Power Podcast is a free podcast made possible by the support of our awesome Patreon sponsors. Head to toypowerpodcast.com and see how you can help.
Oh yeah, this is power.
Hello and welcome to Toy Power, the podcast where we talk toys and everything pop culture. G'day, it's Trent here, and it is so wonderful to have your company today for episode 351.
We made it past 350?
We've done it. No more decimal points.
Such a better math system.
Shenanigans, it's easy to say. I love it.
We can put the Atticus away, finally.
Yeah, I know. The supercomputer. We are good. Hey, we're just recovering from the 350, but we're back in a slightly different studio. We've got the lapel mics on. Mm. It's a bit casual. It's like on
it's
the
weird
couch.
Not having a big phallic object in front of us. Yeah, it feels strange.
Right. Yeah.
Well, not everyone has lapel mics. Some of us still have a phallic microphone in front of them.
Just you
a
whole body. You do you.
Round the room, we've got Benno.
G'day, g'day.
Frank.
Hello, hello.
Scotty.
There he is.
And how are we? How are you feeling after the massive Eternia playset assembly?
Yeah. I honestly wish we had an extra prize because I think Davey gets the prize for being the jackass in the chat.
I don't get a prize for being yourself.
Well, true that.
Well, look, in fairness, Chris Fresh threw as much shade as what Davey did, right, so they're as encourageable as each other.
Yeah. The chat was on fire, and I haven't... 486 comments in the chat.
Wow.
It's a lot to post.
What have you got? What's there? What are some of the comments that were coming out of it? Can you read them out aloud?
Some of the comments from Dave. Is it a box filled with Toy Powers? How to cheat at quizzes?
Let it go, bro.
Throwing shade. This guy. So this is also Dave. This guy, so many episodes on an award-winning television show and legit forgets which camera to look at. Every time he turns away. It just goes on and on. 486 comments and it's been a week and I haven't even got through them all.
So. Wow, good stuff.
Thank you everyone for tuning in. That was, I think from a tech point of view, I feel like that's the smoothest one we've done. There was no, can you hear us? Are we live? All that sort of stuff. You know, well done to Scotty for being throwing him into the producer role. Really well done. So happy with how it turned out.
Yeah. I honestly wish I said it on the live video, but I've got to say this Eternia, structural wise and what you get with it, is actually better quality, more fun.
It's an upgrade.
It's an upgrade from the vintage. I'm genuinely, jealous that I didn't pledge for it. All the new additions, like the coloured comic book, the coloured instructions, Moti, the Horde Trooper beat-em-up character, the larger grey skull tower cage, the more room and action feature for Viper Tower. It just all comes together. It's an award-winning playset, and I'm just so glad it's hit the, everyone's sort of, that I've seen, given it two thumbs up, including us in the room. And I certainly give it, a lot of praise for someone who's pieced together the vintage one. I can certainly say this is a beautiful upgrade and worthy of anyone's collection.
It is. I was thinking about this on the way down here tonight around how Origins is kind of almost now surpassed the vintage line in terms of what we've got, number of characters. It's been going for about 4 years, but we have more characters in the vintage line, not as many vehicles, but
true.
Just they've done an amazing effort. And it's an incredible toy line. I thought that when Classics ended, that was sort of going to be the pinnacle for Masters, and it may sort of still very well be. But to get a retro-inspired line, I think Mattel have done a really good thing, and to get it kind of back into the mainstream, back into mass retail. Obviously, Eternia wasn't a mass retail offering, but I never would have thought we would get something like this.
I think what they've done well is having people talking about Masters again without it being a, Mattel have dropped the ball, Mattel have done this. When that Eternia was revealed at San Diego, That's all anyone was talking about online, and I'm sure at the show as well. Like, they've really brought it back to the fore alongside the cartoon efforts with the Kevin Smith and the Netflix one. They've finally gone, hey, this is one of our premier brands. Let's treat it like a premier brand.
Yeah.
And you know what? It's not a movie year. We got it, and it's not a movie year. So,
well, speaking of which, there was those. Well, I mean, it always happens.
Yep.
The show, they put a director on, and as soon as I read any of the comments, it's like, I'll believe this when I'm sitting in the cinema and the title screen comes up. Before. There's a lot of people that have been burnt by any news and take it with like a huge pinch of salt. A massive salt lake, essentially.
Yes.
One of those ones they race those cars on.
Yes, 100%.
All right.
You and me both,
Now today we're doing three topics. We've got a latest news. Mm-hmm. It might be a bit old because of the timing of when we're recording this, but there's some really exciting news, I think, to talk about. We've also got a rundown of Brett and Sarah's Adelaide and Comic Toy Fair, which was another stellar event. Toy Fair. Yeah. And
excuse my spelling. I'm so glad we're not live or on camera.
Yeah. And an unboxing from Jay Harp. So thank you very much, Jay, for sending through this package. And geez, shipping is expensive these days. $99 US to ship that box. Yikes. That is phenomenal. But thank you very much, Jay, for sending that through. We'll unbox that a little bit later on. But Scotty.
All right. I have one question before we jump into the news. Frank, this is directed at yourself.
Ooh.
It's now been a week since we recorded episode 350 live stream.
Sure.
We recorded said episode in Jack's toy room, and we sort of stripped all of his toys out and we put them throughout the house to accommodate what we set up to record in. Attorney is still sitting in Jack's room a week later, mate. Care to explain your actions and your negligence towards your son's toy?
Well, it's full
playing
of farm animals too.
That's right. To him, this is the greatest farmhouse he's never had. He did also enjoy when we had all the cameras and stuff set up. He took great delight. We had a camera shot that had the three different angles. And so he was there looking at himself on the TV three times. And to a four-year-old, that's the best thing in the world.
Well, there's a Bluey episode about that.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah.
he had a ball with it. And he's, if that was a vintage attorney, obviously I'm not letting him touch it. But this one, we even had a few little snafus where we dropped pieces or whatever. He just about can't break that. I still, supervise him when he is having a play with it. And I also have not worked out how to move it. It's insane.
It's a three-man move.
Yeah, to move it without taking it apart is a lot more effort. And Jack is perhaps a fraction too young. I can picture him trying to carry that central tower, which is about as tall as he is.
Yes.
And it not going too well. So.
In my line of work, I know several guys who could actually remove the ceiling off your home and bring a crane in to shift it to your actual toy room.
Might have to do that.
Very good. All right, let's get into our first topic.
3, 2, 1.
Cue music.
So what have you got for me?
I'm Batman.
But she's got a new hat.
And it's Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles news. Kirby, who is based on the legendary comic book illustrator Jack Kirby, that Eastman and Laird both idolized. They both loved Kirby. And the story of Eastman going into Peter Laird's house and he had that original Kirby artwork and he was just like, oh, you love Kirby too? And they really bonded over Kirby and pizza and all that sort of thing. They wrote him into the Mirage Run.
Donatello one-shot.
The one-shot, where Kirby has the magic pen and he brings these characters to life. That is now a figure that has been released from NECA. And here is the beautiful Jack Kirby in his green sweater and blue jeans. Comes with a beautiful monster that he's drawn. He's got the Donatello blaster, couple of alternate hands and a pencil with the gem.
The crystal. That's the one that does. And a little sketchbook as well. There he's actually got that Donatello sketch, which I think appears right at the end of that issue.
Defeat the monsters.
With the blaster on his hand. And that's the one that goes through the portal just before it closes. And and traps him in there in the world that he created.
I've always thought that Man at Arms, sort of in the 2000X, borrowed that idea from this comic book.
The hand cannon.
Because it's very, very similar.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you compare the two. But what a fantastic, like, tribute, and, you know, anyone made in plastic is a pretty big deal. And to have Jack Kirby realised, you know, all these years later, I think this is just phenomenal.
I love this figure. I actually have this figure.
Oh, nice.
And it is pretty much a redo of the Baxter Stockman figure.
Mm.
With the torso, he's wearing the same jumper, same shirt, same pants. His sleeves are a bit different. He's got the rolled up sleeves, whereas Baxter has the sleeves down to his wrists, and obviously a new head sculpt. So it is a redo, but they've done it nicely.
Clever.
Like, you can see here on Kirby, he's got some sort of shading marks where they've done the pencil work on the jumper.
Yep.
That is different on the Baxter. Oh, so nice. They've just made it, it looks different enough, and the color scheme's really, really well done. So, and this is almost like a two-pack, this one, because it comes with that little monster that's sort of half his height.
Yep. Yep.
So really, really nice pack. We've got some photographs that NECA have done here as well, and there's a shot of Kirby sitting at a table with a bench, some pictures of his art on the wall behind him, and he's got like some little teacup and a little lamp and a sketchbook.
His drawing studio. Yeah.
It's really nice the way NECA set up these dioramas, and I almost want a little Kirby setup.
Kirby studio.
Kirby studio desk. And stuff. But what a nice set. I love this line. If there's one line that is probably what I call out as my favorite at the moment, it is the NECA Mirage line.
Yeah.
That is just sensational. And you know, for me, they don't need to do they've got most of the figures I want out of Mirage.
Mm.
But this would have to be a surprise.
It was a surprise.
You wouldn't have this on your, I need this.
Not on your list.
But at the same time, I didn't know I needed it until it was released, and now I have to get it.
Yep.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Exactly right.
Cool.
All right.
Now, you're the Silver Hawk. Well, actually, Scott, you're doing Ultimate Silverhawks, are you not?
Yeah, that's correct. I purchased your
you did.
Wave 1 Silverhawks. Yeah.
So what we are looking at here is a pre-order for, it's a BitBay Toy Store exclusive, Silverhawks Ultimate Darkbird. I'm guessing, without much knowledge of this character, this is an evil version of Quicksilver that shows up for one episode in the show. Basically, it is the Quicksilver that we got in Wave 1.
Mm-hmm.
And he's got a pretty mean-looking head sculpt. He's got the vampire teeth almost. He's got, evil, like...
if you had
to draw an evil-looking character based purely on the face, this is that.
I love the zoomed-in one, because you know what that gave me ideas from? That's the Exorcist. That's the flash on screen when you see that face.
Yeah.
That to me is that. Like, it's just full on.
To me, this looks like someone who's been awake for 72 hours nonstop, and then they finish their bender off by sinking a 500ml Red Bull. That's what I'm seeing on screen.
It's maniacal. Yeah, that's right. Look, beyond the face sculpt, there is, from what I can tell, very little difference here. There's some red blast effects that I think in the original Quicksilver are blue.
Yep.
And I'm not sure that Quicksilver came with that little handcuff thingy, Bob. But other than that, it's pretty much identical.
Mm. No hawk.
No hawk. Good point. No hawk. $55 US. I can't see this being a massive seller.
No, this is paying for the VAC medal.
This is
a reissue without being a reissue. This is all but paying for that buck to be made, and then them to reissue other future characters, and pave the way for the VAC medal versions.
And being an exclusive, this is not the sort of character that breaks your collection, as we've talked about before. So it's not a bad way to do it. I mean, with San Diego coming up, I would have thought this would be one they might save for that, unless they've got something else in store, obviously.
Well, that had a couple of weeks ago, we called out some of theirs. The Mikey in the pizza outfit.
Silverhawks. Silverhawks in particular. As far as an exclusive, this is a good way to do it. Shout out if anyone remembers Darkbird. Like, I thought my knowledge on Silverhawks was pretty okay. I looked at this and went, nope, don't remember that at all. But, Well done for using it the way they have.
Yeah, I mean, look, I have collected this line and I enjoy the line. This is way too deep a cut for me. No, I just so I mean, yeah. Like, I've got no, I don't even know what this is. Like,
you put the masked face on it and people go, why do you have two?
Pretty much, right. Yeah.
You have to have the unmasked face. Otherwise, exactly. You think it's just a, you've got doubles. He should have a red visor or something, yeah, in my opinion. Yeah. That's probably accurate, but he needs some differential other than the red beams.
Do you feel like you need this, Scotty?
Yeah.
I do not need this in my collection, no.
I really feel like there's not going to be a huge market for this.
No.
I suspect most people that are collecting the Silverhawks lines want that key characters from the toys.
Yep.
And then, yeah, sure, if they throw in a couple that never had toys, you'd be happy to grab. I like Time Stopper from the cartoon. I think he was cool. I thought he was a cool character, had a cool kind of power that he could stop time. He had that big clock on his chest, like a rapper.
Flavor Flav.
Yeah. There's a few that they can do from the show that I'd be like, I remember them and that's a cool character. This is not one I need. And I reckon the majority of people collecting this line are not going to need to get this.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, Benno, you said before we started recording, because you curated the news really for this episode, you're like, it's a highbrow news segment.
Yes.
Right? Like there's no kind of crappy McFarlane stuff in this one.
Sorry, McFarlane. It's,
You're
check bounced for the inclusion, so we move on.
But what has made the cut is Mondo with some very, very big news in terms of their 6.5-inch scale fully articulated figures. Sorry, 6.5.
So that's for the Ghostbusters.
So there's David Nelson.
I believe for Thundercats, I think it's the regular 12-inch
1.6 scale. Yes. Yeah. Oh, so Ghostbusters are going to be smaller.
Yes.
Ghostbusters is 6.5.
Is that right?
Because they're going to come in two packs.
Yep.
That's interesting diversion from Mondo.
Yep.
Well, they've just done the
Daria.
Eight inches on
Daria.
So I think that's
what I'm excited.
Expect.
I love what they're doing in the 1.6 scale with Masters and some of the other stuff. But it's too big for my collection. I just can't justify the bigger figures. I can't fit them. But I am very interested in a real Ghostbusters line that comes in at 6.5. The most recent stuff we've seen in that line is from Diamond Select. They kind of got their, I guess, Ghostbusters figures, which are very much in that 7-inch scale, slightly larger than 6-inch, and they redid some of the torsos in the real Ghostbusters colors with new heads, but they felt very too realistic because they were based on the movie likeness sculpts just with the new head. Whereas this is going to be, we know they're going to do it
cartoon
accurate from their X-Men stuff.
Yes.
And the fact that they've highlighted there will be ghosts. So I dare say you'll get for a two-pack, you'll get a Ghostbuster and a famous ghost.
Yep.
I think that's going to be the two-pack.
Sense.
That way you stretch the line out.
Yep.
And when you get Slimer, you're going to get an alternate ghost or something that's
else.
A bit of a deeper cut because he is also an A-list character.
Yeah.
And that's how they're going to keep the line going.
Yep.
I think with on the flip side with Thundercats, they can do easily 20 figures without even going into the B-grade characters. Whereas Ghostbusters, you do the original 4 plus Slimer 5, there's not much else after that. And then at the 6.5-inch scale, they could do a 12, 15-inch Stay Puft Marshmallow Man. They could do the larger characters.
Ecto 1.
That could do an Ecto 1.
At that scale, that's almost why you do that, because you go,
crowdfund. Yeah, crowdfund so you don't lose out. And bam. This is what the Ghostbusters, the YHS, the Toy Anxiety, all those people have been screaming for. And I think they've got their best chance ever with Mondo.
I don't know if it's a Toy Anxiety, guys, but I heard someone say, finally, the problem with a lot of these Ghostbusters lines is they do the, you know, whether it's based on the movie or the cartoon, they do the four characters and for whatever reason it ends, the line stops there and there's no ghost.
No.
The line is called Ghostbusters. Give us some ghosts. And I think Mondo have understood that. and gone, here you go, let's do it properly.
You could only hope there'd be like a Dana Barrett, Lewis Tully, Janine, Walter Peck. Got to see a Walter Peck in there.
Well, I think if they're doing real Ghostbusters, they'll probably... They not
did I just shit my pants by just telling you guys the stuff
we're
in the
movie?
We're
trying to be nice about it. But yeah, you jumped a shark there.
Yeah, well, okay. I've got defunct Ghostbusters knowledge, okay.
I reckon
you were right
we're,
in those characters, just not for this one.
I reckon we're looking at a Janine,
Janine
in here. We're obviously looking at the four Ghostbusters and a Slimer as kind of the core good guys.
You can see Janine on the artwork there.
She's on the art. She makes a lot of sense. And I reckon you'll get a Lewis Tully in this look because
he
appears. He's in the animated.
Yeah, okay,
so you'll see that. You'll
there
see
you
him
you
in
right.
there.
You could do alternate versions of Slimer like we called out for the vintage toy review type thing with the ghost pack.
I want to see him with the ghost pack.
Like,
this
that'd
is,
be sick.
Yeah, this is... I mean, my question of this is, do they go down the animated path of drawing... from the animation, or do they go down the Kenner toy path and pull some of those designs from because some of the, you know, they all came with a pack in Ghost.
Yep.
There is some online fan art with some designs of what a Ghostbusters line would look like, and they have very much gone down the path of, okay, the original Kenner Ghostbusters came with this ghost as a pack in. We're going to do him as a ghost character, but they can definitely go down the Filmation path and pick out ghost characters from the show as well. So that'll be really interesting, but I think two packs is the way to get us ghosts.
Oh, hell yeah.
So I'm super excited. We do have some images of Lion-O from the Thundercats line here. He does look, just in terms of stylistically what they've gone with, toy colours.
Yes.
So they're LJN toy colours. It's pretty accurate to the LJN, except for the loincloth area. They've added a bit of a
like
Roman Legionnaire style.
Like, plated.
Plated
sort of
armour.
To it. Yeah.
And look, I think it probably makes more sense over what he's essentially wearing as underpants.
Correct.
In a kind of like Superman strongman suit. So they've given him a more realistic armoured look, but it is a bit distracting.
It's dangerous. Yeah, I mean... But to be fair, Mondo, mostly with the artistic license they take on themselves, they mostly get it right.
Yeah.
You know, you could say some of those early He-Man Skeletor figures they did didn't really hit the markets, hence why they redid them. So it'd be interesting. And all we're looking at is what appears to be some sort of digital render. It'd be nice to see it sort of in 3D, how that looks. Does, in typical Mondo style, for the price you would pay, comes with, what do we got, four heads. The cat's claw shield in looks like three different iterations.
Yep.
The book, the sword in, you know, extended and dagger mode. You get snarf.
You get a cape. Yep.
You get what looks like lightning effects for the sword, you know, the Eye of Thundera sort of stuff. Chain whip sort of weapon. I'm not familiar where that's from, but I mean, a bevy of accessories, and it's going to be at 1/6 scale. Far out. Like. Yep.
They know how to do accessories at Mondo, yeah. Nah, very cool. All right. And speaking of Mondo, and speaking of a highbrow news episode, look at that Battle Ram. You're going to need a bigger shelf.
Well, yeah. I'm thinking they're going to release the Sky Sled.
Yeah.
Right? I think they're going to release the Sky Sled, and then later on, they'll work out how many people have ordered the Sky Sled and be like, okay, yes, there's justification to do the rest.
Yeah.
Because... to put out the Battle Ram,
it's going to be $1,000.
It's going to be a very, very, very expensive item. But to split it in two, that makes it quite manageable. And let's say, you know, 3/4 of the people go ahead and buy that bought the Sky Sled, go ahead and buy the rest of the Battle Ram, then that's a win. That's a justification.
Yep.
Because there's always going to be that, certain community that doesn't jump on for the second part of the toy for whatever reason. So I think this is a great indication of how far can they push the envelope without going too far. Can they do a land shark? Can they do a Rotom? You know, can they go to the next level?
Okay, so let's think about Battlecat and Panther. Panther were $500 Australian, we're talking, by the time.
Oh, I'm not sure.
Were
Australian,
they $500 Australian?
They were expensive. They were.
Yeah, I thought that was a US price.
Really? Oh, my God.
Well, look, you're looking, I mean, the sky sled is probably in length, is as long as a He-Man. So it's probably going to be a, what is that, a 12-inch-ish, maybe 14 to 16-inch in length.
Jeez.
And probably you're looking at 10 inches in height. So it is a chunky vehicle.
Mm.
But good on them. Like, yeah. I think there's a real market for a smaller vehicle.
Mm-hmm. So just to rewind, just in case we didn't, you know, say it properly, Mondo have now teased that there will be a Sky Sled, and all they've teased it with is a really, really tight cropped image of He-Man's arm holding a handle device, and it's very easy for us to work out that that is the Sky Sled. The Sky Sled is a two-part vehicle that connects into the larger vehicle of the Battle Ram. Mm. The Battle Ram is incredibly famous because it was essentially the first vehicle to hit the mainstream line back in the 80s. So it was in filmation. It's, you know, very mainstream in the toy line. You see one just about every market, yep. you know, that you go to in various states of condition. So it's a fantastic, easy sale, I believe.
Yeah. Yep.
And also the fact that you can piece it together in two parts.
And I'm curious if they're going to go the route a bit like Classics did, where you get the alternate head for like a skeleton, like a bad guy's version of this as well.
Wouldn't surprise me with the way Mondo do their accessories.
That could be a tease. You buy the second part, you can adjust the first part out. Yeah. Classics did do one. Mm. We don't have one in Origins.
We've got the Sky Sled part in Origins. Yes. And again, it has that removable front. And the stickers are removable with these plates as well. Came with Prince Adam.
Yeah.
But very, very cool. I love the photo. In the photo, it looks like the bit that he grabs onto, the handlebar, is movable. Mm. It looks like it rotates.
Yep. Left and right.
Yep. And there's little rivets in there. And the weathering.
Yes.
Looks like an actual vehicle. Oh,
It looks beautiful. I've got no doubt the quality will be superb. But this begs the question, where are you going to put this? Do you have...
You're going to park it under a turn here, of course.
Like, do you have room? How much room do people have left? I wonder when this becomes a problem in people's collections, that you've got the desire and you've got the funds, but you literally don't have the space.
I mean, Exhibit A, that's your problem.
I can't get this. As much as I want this, I couldn't get it because I've got nowhere to put it.
Mm. I love it. Battle Ram is my favourite vehicle from the Masters line. I think it'd be amazing to go with the Mondo He-Man that I've got. But logistically, ain't nowhere to put it.
Mm. Yeah.
Maybe in the garage. No, you know what? I'll just park it in the car park out the front
just
of the house.
Just fly it in.
I'll just register it as a road vehicle and park it out the front.
I'm off to work, Joe. See you later. And you fly off in sort of 2D, like in the cartoon. Just sort of straight past.
I love it how they run up and they just boom, and then straight up.
Right. Now, FOMO, I always call them FOMO toys, and I know, Chris, you're going to laugh at me again, but FOMO toys. They had a convention and they got their Legends of Dragonore figures on display. They've got their Wave 2, which is still up for pre-order if you want to get in on Wave 2 of Legends of Dragonore. They've done their Dragons, I think 1.5. Mm-hmm. Battle at Ashmere or Ice Battle at Icemere is nearly ready to go. But they had a sort of last minute surprise, which was that they are doing Warriors of the Galaxy figures in their kind of Legends of Dragonore line, which is their 5.5 retro Masters of the Universe inspired style line. These look like officially licensed Galaxy Warriors, which were kind of those
Sun Gold
sort of KO, what we refer to as sort of KO figures. Yep. And here they've got Magnon and Baltard.
Yep, they're so the teased characters coming out. And you can see the upgrade, like the paint apps are phenomenal. They've changed the weapon for Baltard. Shout out to Dirty Uncle Mitch. He lost his mind when he saw Baltard in my collection because he's like, man, I had that one as a kid. Yeah, such a terrible toy. But he'd put that at the back of his mind, like, you know, that memory. And then he saw it and he was like a little kid again. So these guys are, you know, they're not as famous as Warrior, what are they called?
Remco ones
and things, because that license is already taken by the other guys. So why not? You know, these Sun Gold figures were always advertised. They play well with Masters of the Universe.
Yep.
You know, they weren't trying to create their own universe or anything. They were trying to cash in on the massive, you know, craze and things. If we flip over to the next panel is what I'm really excited about. So this is a colorized version of what SunGold released from the Galaxy Warriors, right? And so I'm not particularly keen on the ones that were teased, but what has me incredibly excited for is Dragon, which is like a dragon, like demon-headed character. Shahak, which is a snake-headed character, absolutely fantastic. And probably their most famous character of the whole line is Tiger Man. Tiger Man is absolutely phenomenal. And then you can get to that next level. You've got Anubi, which is a wolf-headed character. You've got Spikes, which is sort of a Roman Empire helmeted character. If that's not your thing, if you're more of a dino character fan, you've got Dino Man, which is a sort of a duck-billed dinosaur-headed muscly warrior. And it's just, it just goes on.
There's like a Viking dwarf called Huck.
Yeah.
And I love my favorite, which is I was gonna say, which is like Tyrannosaurus Rex dinosaur, but he looks like he's on acid.
I love it.
He's just staggering. He's got this big grin. He's staggering. He's going.
That is so, you know, stop motion. You know, when you saw those 50s style, Argon versus...
Jason and the Argonauts, it is.
That's the dinosaur you would have seen
on that screen.
He looks like
he's deformed.
Yes. Yeah.
Like
yes.
He's made of clay. Yeah. He's not quite sculpted correctly.
Yeah. You guys are thinking of the movie Valley of the Guanji.
Yes.
Yes, that's what you're thinking. Yeah.
I love, obviously Panthor and Battlecat are incredibly famous, that big gym pose. But who doesn't, you know, forget Tiger?
Tiger,
right?
Yep.
Which has
what sort
this...
of animal is he?
Oh. He's a domestic pussycat. He's looking for
He's a tabby cat who is currently showing his owner his behind based on that pose. Yeah.
I love the pose, though. I love that speaks volumes.
What's going on with that mammoth? Is he just and like then you've got being like you've got cut mammoth. Up and bleeding? He looks like he's having a bad day.
He's got a bit of psychedelic.
Yeah, I love the creativity with the names. You've got horse.
Horse, dinosaur, tiger, and mammoth. Yeah. And we'll leave them up to the listeners to decipher what they are.
No, I think you're right, Ben. There's some fantastic
places they can go.
There's places they can go. There's probably some more exciting characters to come. Even Yugi. Yug, who's like a sort of yak-faced monster. They're pretty cool. And I think translated into the Formo style, they'll just kind of fine-tune that generic look and make it look a bit more sculpted details, a bit more expression.
Can you imagine what Emilio Cinciliano can do with that sort of panther-looking shields that are so famous? The hawk shields that are so famous. Like... that artwork alone is inbred into my brain of what KO figures used to come with.
Yep.
And to get a good version of those shields, which are just stickers, and then to get a good version from Emiliano, who's going to paint them properly sculpted and things, that is almost going to be the same value as the actual sculpt and things.
I agree. They're beautiful. What, Ben, are you... interested in any of these figures? Are you going to be like a bit of a picky and choosy?
Oh, for sure. This is where I might jump into his toy line and things. Sahak, like I've got a few of him. He's a cobra head with a bit really long neck and things. I've got quite a few variations of him in my toy collection, different heights of his neck and things. Mm. And Tiger Man, I love Tiger Man. I think he's awesome. And his, you know, brother from another mother, the Anubi, which is the wolf-headed character. And even, as I called out, Dragon is just the most villainous-looking dragon-headed nightmare fuel demon character you can imagine. They're great. Dino Man is pretty cool because he just looks so bonkers. And characters like, you know, the whole line is amazing, but... they are expensive. They're going to be expensive toys, so I need to pick and choose. So maybe those sort of top four, two good guys, two bad guys, and that would just be perfect for my little collection. And I'm sure they're not going to release them, you know, all four in one go, so I can sort of space out my, purchases over time.
I was pleasantly surprised. I think I looked at the Dragons when they were released, and the shipping was phenomenally expensive. But I did just look at the shipping on Wave 2, which I think is about six figures. Something like $35 to ship the whole batch to Australia.
Wow.
So either it was wrong or they've done something to tweak their shipping methods.
Good.
But very, very affordable. It put me off the line. The high shipping prices has been corrected. So there might be some good news for you if you're trying to get these to Australia.
Yeah.
And I'm sure there'll be a lot of people that you might want to combine an order with that might break that down even further. Yeah. But good on them. I think this is really exciting.
Yep.
I think what they're doing with Legends of Dragonore is really nice, but this is a really nice touch to bring in that nostalgia.
Yeah.
Speaking of nostalgia, we were talking about Transformers. Now, some of the... this is what's known as the Missing Link line. Is this officially licensed, is it?
Officially licensed.
Yeah, so we've seen Optimus. Is that the only one we've seen so far? Yeah, so it's basically... is done up to look exactly as close as possible to the G1 toy, but with modern articulation. So they've now got knees, joints that they never had in the 80s, and we've got what look to be pretty blurry sort of teaser images for none other than Bumblebee and Cliffjumper.
I mean, you wouldn't know in vehicle mode.
No, you couldn't.
You couldn't tell.
Couldn't tell, but the fact that they can now, you know, hold the gun while bending the elbow.
Yeah.
Never had a gun.
That's right. You can pivot. The legs are actually separate. Like, they don't really do that on the original toy. Like, knee joints, ankle joints, that sort of thing. Like, it just...
Twist the head.
Twist the head. Simple thing. It's amazing they've actually got the shot here. Vehicle mode, robot mode, as it would appear in the 80s, straight up and down, you know, standing still. And then just a shot in the middle of them in a hero pose, if you will. And you go, it just makes such a difference.
Doesn't it?
And you sit there and go, it'd be interesting to have amongst all your G1s where they're largely straight up and down, you have this guy there, pose like that, and people be like, what the hell is that?
Yeah.
I'm assuming it's going to be in scale with the original toy. Like, it's not going to be its own thing. Amazing. I love these things.
We had Morgan on last couple of episodes back.
Mm.
And he is a diehard G1 big Transformers collector. He has the majority of the line, chasing down a few pieces. If you were to sort of say to someone like that, what are you most excited about that's coming in Transformers collecting? This is what it is. Because it is so authentic to the original, but it just gives you that beautiful pose. And it doesn't need much to tweak it.
Yeah.
And there you go. You've got the original toy, as you probably imagined it was as a kid, with that articulation, with that posability, and that is what I want to see on my Bumblebee shelf.
Is this Transformers Origins in terms of...
It is.
Yes, it is.
Right? Yeah.
Like they've taken those same...
Just when we thought, you know, Masterpiece and things, what are we going to do with Masterpiece? This is the next evolutionary, you know, going backwards.
Well,
sometimes it's going forwards.
I agree. I think this will be very popular. I think it's a lower price point.
Yep. Yeah.
What a clever move.
Shout out around the room. What do we want to see from the G1 line made next? Announced next.
The obvious one is Megatron. I just don't think it's ever going to happen because gun laws are what they are.
Well, they've done the Masterpiece. So they might be able to, if they put a big fat orange cap on the end of
they
might be able to get away with it.
Yeah.
Look, I'd like to see a Starscream or some of the Jets done like this.
The Seekers. Mm.
And, I mean, Soundwave is a no-brainer.
That was going to be my shout-out. 100% Soundwave. Give me all the Soundwaves possible.
I'm going to go big. I want Ultra Magnus. Now, you imagine that G1 toy, but you can actually separate the legs, move the arms and stuff.
Yeah.
It'd be a feat of engineering, but...
So they could do it.
I'm a Jeep guy, so it's definitely going to be Hound.
Nice.
Yes, please.
Yeah, Hound has very minimal articulation in the G1, so he would be an awesome upgrade.
Great looking figure.
I watched a very short, quick review video of Optimus Prime, Missing Link, and every joint is ratchet. And he's the person's unboxed it, he's just blown away. He's moved the arms out of Optimus's torso, and the fists are actually attached, and they hide behind the grill plate. And he's just going on and on about how cool that is. Like, that just blew his mind that there weren't other fists, you know, floating around the box that he needed to attach. They're actually already attached. And he said how tight the joints are. Every joint is ratcheted. You put him up in a pose, there's no way that that heavy gun is going to, you know, make the arm drop, because the joints are just so beautiful. So I have nothing but appreciation for this. Mm. I believe the only issue with these is, you know, how to get them, because it's a new line. Everyone's a bit unsure about, you know, can we trust this? What's this going to bring? Blah, blah, blah.
Sure.
So distribution is a bit of an issue.
Yeah.
Once they iron that out and they've got a bit of a depth of characters and things, this line is going to go deep. This line is going to go deep in variants as well. I think watch this space. We're going to get a lot of missing links throughout the G1 community moving forward.
I'm just noticing the numbers. Like Bumblebee's tagged as C03 and Cliffjumper as 04. So assuming Optimus is 01, what are we missing?
Maybe Ultra Magnus in white. I don't know. I have not heard anything else. Or it could be Optimus Prime 1, Optimus Prime with trailer number 2.
Yes. Yeah,
and then this is 3 and 4. So please, if you're listening and you know the answer to our conundrum, let us know.
And yeah, Cliffjumper coming also with his anime-inspired sort of two-handed cannon thing,
which is very
nice
cool
to see.
Yeah.
All right. Now, before we get into the Adelaide Comic and Toy Fair, the last bit of news was very interesting.
Oh yeah.
Around the licensing for Power Rangers. So now this is one of those ones where Hasbro. So this was a Saban product, and I think they had licensed out to Bandai traditionally, but Hasbro acquired Power Rangers, full stop. So they own Power Rangers, the brand, and obviously the master toy license as well. They had an announcement about a week and a half ago that they were going to essentially give that license to manufacture the toys to Playmates, which was a very interesting move. What do we think? I mean, I've got my thoughts about why. I mean, Power Rangers is probably not huge at the moment. It's a big toy brand, but doesn't have a movie, doesn't have really, it had the kind of Netflix show, but it doesn't have a lot of mainstream media going for it at the moment. There's a lot of nostalgia there. In my mind,
there is a comic book series.
There is a comic book that's still going on. And of course, the actual, the regular, I don't know what it streams on, to be honest, but you can get the latest, you know, whatever it is, version. I couldn't tell you what they're up to, but yeah, I believe that's still ongoing, season 400 or something like that.
Right.
But, yeah, so that's still going, but probably the Mighty Morphin stuff that we grew up with, that we know, that's, you know, where can you find that anymore? In toy or show
form. And I think the Lightning Collection has done its dash, in my opinion.
Because
I think it's done, yeah.
Yeah, and I think even Super 7 struggled with their Ultimates. There was a number that were announced, and then a wave of four figures got cut down to two, something like that, where they ended up selling the Green Ranger as part of what should have been a four-figure wave. So there's probably some question marks around just how many, and not how many Power Rangers fans there are. I'm sure there's lots of them, but are they the action figure type of people who, you know, don't seem to be buying them? If Hasbro, the, you know, arguably the biggest toy company on the planet, they would, if this thing was making money, they wouldn't have passed it on.
I think that's right. And I think for a company like Hasbro, licensed dollars coming in the door is a nice revenue stream without the risk. I think this diversification in the model makes sense to me. They're not going to necessarily do that with Star Wars, you know, like that's a, it's a, not, I mean, not that they own the master license for that, but I think they've just run the numbers and gone, well, we can take obviously less risk on this, bring in a revenue stream, and Playmates maybe a bit slim pickings on their licensing, and they're happy to put their production into gear on this line, and off they go. So I think it sometimes makes sense economically. But it is interesting, and I'd be really fascinated to see what style we're going to see these figures in. Like, are we going to see these in kind of that traditional stylized Playmates look?
I think so.
Yeah, I kind of think that maybe their target audience needs to be entry point collectors, kids, that it needs to be $15, maybe $20 Australian on the shelf.
Yep.
So if a parent is looking for a gift for their kids, or an entry point collector is looking for something, $20 is
a no-brainer. It's like, cool, I'm happy to invest in a toy like that, see what it's like. If you're satisfied with the quality, you will make the effort to hunt the rest of the figures to collect, you know, sort of those five pivotal figures. Yeah.
I personally think that they're going to steer away from the actual characters, that so you won't see the green, blue, red Rangers and things. They're going to go for the Zoids. They're going to go for the Build-A-Figure. They're going to go for the Lions, the Mammoth, Pterodactyl, all those, and then create. Because didn't they just have the Voltron license? They just had the they made all the Voltron things, and then they've just re-released that for their 40th anniversary, which I've heard online that is impossible to find them in stores because they're snapped up so fast.
Yep.
So I think they're going to go for that.
Go down the Zoids line.
Connectability. Yeah. You know, buy them separately, connect them together. Then when they've done, you know, got to the last version, they'll say, right, here's a gift pack. Here's this, you know, and slightly different color scheme. They'll have them in die cast or have them in different ranges. I think that's where
robots.
That's where other toy lines have, you know, skipped over.
Yep.
They've focused solely on the characters and the Zoids have been left behind.
Good call.
But they need a media essence to this. Like with the Ninja Turtles movie and the relaunch of the toys, then highly successful because the toys were backed up with the film.
Yeah.
Sure. If you want to relaunch a new brand like this, you've got to have some sort of media presence to go with it.
Oh, look, I think so. I think if we use Ninja Turtles as a model, here in Australia, Kmart picked them up. And they were in Big W, they were in Meijer, they were everywhere. Now, Kmart is not stocking Masters of the Universe Origins because there's not enough mainstream media to go along. We got the next Netflix show, we had even the Netflix anime. It wasn't considered enough for the Kmart toy team to purchase Origins. It was a no, but they stocked Ninja Turtle, they stocked Power Rangers.
They stocked Godzilla, which is also
same thing, right? I don't think Kmart, and they would be big, like they've got a lot of reach here in Australia, I don't think they would be stocking Playmates Power Rangers because of that point.
Yep. Amen. Correct.
So very, very interesting to see what distribution channels it will get. So watch this space, because I think it is an interesting dynamic in the toy industry at the moment with these sort of sub-licenses and this cross-pollination between toy companies.
Yep, for sure.
All right.
Speaking of cross-pollination,
yeah,
we all went down to Brett and Sarah's wonderful Adelaide Toy and Comic Fair, the April edition for 2024, held at the same place, good old St. Clair Rec Centre, which is a wonderful venue. We were all there. I was there kind of fleetingly. I had stuff on that day. Didn't sell for the first time in a little while, but, you know, you guys were there all day. Let's... general vibe of the day. What did we think? How did we go? How did we feel about it?
Well, I'll go before the actual fair itself. Saturday we had the bump in the and the setup of the tables and that sort of stuff, and thankfully it went mostly pretty damn well. Nice. The vast majority of the tables were there, and sort of in 2 hours, as ideally we like to, all the tables were out and deployed. There was a bit of a scramble towards the end where we had maybe 15% of the tables that sort of didn't turn up, but Brett and Sarah throw their weight around a little bit, and, you know, and magically the tables were all there within an hour, and we had sort of a real timely setup just as the first eager people to set up sort of arrive and, you know, bring all their gear in to deploy on the tables. So it was a successful Saturday, which... less stress leading into Sunday, which was a terrific event.
Yeah. I think it's important to shout out the date. So this was a few weeks ago. This is Sunday, the 21st of April. Absolutely perler weather of a day, which always, I think, adds a little bit of flair, encourages. And it was the middle of the school holidays. So you got all the kids and things, you know, families looking for, itching for something to do, and they came down as well. Trent and I and Scott had shared a table. We had oodles of space, same area as we've had the last few years, so people could find us quite easily. The early bird session went fantastically. I think that was a steady stream of people, and then the general public were straight after. The you know, general fashion throughout the day. I don't think it's calmed down till around 1-2 o'clock.
Yeah.
But still there was a lot of people walking around, a lot of last minute, you know, people looking for bargains and whatever. But the overall vibe of the day, I want to do that as my main business the rest of my life. I just want to do that every day. It was a lot of work. Mm. It was very tiring. Just everything above, but it was so, so much fun. The amount of people I got to chat to, the faces I only see at these fairs. Shout out to Demi Gordon on Instagram. I had at least a 15-minute conversation with him about his toy collection and everything, and we just really geeked out, and it was just fantastic. One of the many highlights of my day, just catching up with people, talking stuff, Glenn was just...
Yeah.
You know, just opposite us, diagonally across.
Yep.
Lots of conversations throughout the day across the room and things like that. It's just so, so good. Can't praise it enough.
Yeah, yeah. Echo those sentiments exactly. The catch-ups are fantastic, the conversations. And I think we've got our spot now. People know where to come up and say hey, and it's some really good conversations. I think, that it was busy. And what I found, I went through my toy collection. I was getting rid of a lot of doubles and various things. So I had a lot of kind of carded mid-90s, early 90s Kenner products. Mm. So I had some Waterworld, I had some Batman animated, I had some sort of Kenner Batman, Justice League, that sort of thing, that kind of weird era that now you probably don't see a lot of carded. Sort of even that kind of Legends of the Dark Knight sort of era of stuff. And that was really popular. He had a few toy beers, not the superpowers, but the superheroes on the gold card. And all that stuff moved really well. I had it priced really well, but it moved. And what I found was if you were willing to kind of put really, really competitive prices on things, people were compelled to buy. And I reckon I sold about, $2,000 worth of stock. So like there was a lot of sales. Callum had his Pokemon cards there. He sold for 11-year-old selling $330 worth of Pokemon.
Oof.
Was a really good effort. That's he fantastic. Felt like a rich man. He was there. He was there wheeling and dealing and making deals with people and engaging with customers
He's done all his work and everything. Massive props to him for having everything priced.
Yeah.
If anyone takes away from anything we say tonight, please take this away as number one thing. Price your damn stock, right?
Agreed.
There's nothing worse than going up to a table and nothing's priced. Yep. You have to ask the person and then you're embarrassed by what they say because it's so expensive and you walk away because, you had you've got no intentions of buying it. But price your damn stock and you've got almost an 85% chance of selling it because
absolutely.
It's all priced, so...
It's not that hard, is it? It's for me, if I see something of interest on a table, if I don't see a price on it, I'm not going to... You're either asking way too much...
PM for a price.
Yeah, that's right. Like, put a damn price on it so I can make a decision whether I'm going to be like, no, it's too much, or maybe I'll try and bargain for it. But if I don't know where to start from, I'm not even going to waste my time.
Well, yeah, look, as a person who wasn't selling, I got to see what life was like on the other side. A bit more expensive when you're not making money in order to buy toys on the other side. But, really good. I got to sort of walk the floor a bit more, which was great. Just a real... What was the thing I saw most of? I was trying to think. A lot of sort of later Turtle stuff, sort of that 2003 Turtle stuff that I noticed the most. Or probably even later than that, like the 2015 reboot or whatever it was, 2016. So, really good good vibe from people. One of your girls, Ben, come around. She just came running up to the table and goes, "Mum, Dad, look at this." And she's wearing a full like Ghostbusters like...
Proton pack.
Yes. Like, one. Cosplay Alice. Level stuff.
And we're just
like, and your wife, Ree, was just like, "Who did you steal that from?" Yeah. Like, that was her reaction. Yeah. give that back right now.
Massive props to all those, they had the Lego exhibition people, they're always there. But the South Australian Ghostbusters team had really gone to the next level because obviously the movies come out and Ghostbusters is, you know, quite the talking point with it just being in the sit theatres. But they had a working ghost containment unit and a proper prop thing. And there were, you know, a Stave Puft Marshmallow Man that was erected. And yeah, you know, because we've seen the Ghostbusters crew quite a lot through their travels. Obviously, you know, Alice being, you know, going to rule the world one day, swiveled the fact that she could wear the pack, and it came around, you know, all but a flight suit, you know, with the proton pack and things. And that was just amazing for, you know, for part of me seeing her with the pack, oh, that's awesome. But also the other side of me, please be careful with that pack, because that's going to cost Daddy a lot of money if you fall over or something. And, yeah, just massive props to them. And I mean that in the kindest way, that they're, you know, just allowing the public to take photos, you know, get, you know, get involved, all that sort of stuff. Definitely saw some grails that day. Ben Rosenthal had a Skull Man, Remco original Skull Man out for grabs. You do not see them ever. Your Marvel Legends mate had a Demon Man up for grabs.
Yeah, he had Toy Biz Dragon Man. That's an $800 figure all day, every day. And I just looked at it and just went, damn it.
Shout out to RJ, who missed a $1,200 purchase. The cardboard Palatoys Death Star walked past us.
I think he came up to me and said, you don't have a spare $800.
He was...
Oh, that's a grail. He talks about getting wanting that item and to see it there.
Yeah. And then, I think if he didn't buy the Xbox and things, you know, blow his a bit of coin on that, on those sort of things, he could have been close. But just for a sale, a $1,200 sale in little old Adelaide to go through is just phenomenal. You know, we talk about, you don't bring $500 toys to the Adelaide Toy Fair.
That is a very iconic toy of a very iconic line, but
in general.
You know, in general, you don't bring a Shogun Godzilla to a toy fair and see someone else walk away with it, you know? But I think people were bringing their A-game. Centurions were up for grabs. You never see them. Yep. Ostie had Mask, you know, like the Kenner Mask, you know, toy line up for grabs.
Yeah, some good stuff.
There were some really good things. I took all my NECA cartoon Ninja Turtles, sold all them.
Yeah.
Brought all my Sin City McFarlane toys, sold all them. I was stoked.
Nice.
Yeah, so I just think what Brett and Sarah have built, people are, you know, putting more faith in it. Instead of listing everything on eBay, they're bringing it in hand to the fair and moving it on. I think that's huge props.
Yeah, and look, for me, I want to move a lot of stuff on. It's a good way. You don't have to ship it. You don't have to sit there and pack it. And that really irks me is when I'm selling single items, you know, and I have to pack it all up and it just takes time.
Is this still available? Yes, it's still available. Why would you ask me that question?
Yeah, I've gone off marketplace because of that. eBay, it sells and then you move it on, but this is a way to do it, and I'm happy to take less just to move it on.
Yep.
So people got good deals. That's great. It creates a fun atmosphere when you're getting what you perceive as a bargain. So.
Yeah, you had some genuinely aggressive prices. You were there to do deals on the day.
I was there to move it.
I was shocked by some of your prices, and lessons learnt. I will wait until next Toy Fair to buy my Super 7 Ultimates directly from your table. Yeah, it's right. The cheapest source that I can find.
Just send him a list. Trent, do you have doubles of these figures?
Can you buy doubles of Wave 3 of the Silver Hawks? Yeah. Thanks, Brian.
Pay $100 and sell them for $60. What pickups? What did we get? A couple of good items? Scotty, what did you pick up?
Yeah, so I had two items on my agenda heading into Toy Fair. As always, got to hit up Glenn from Ultimate Protection. I needed more of the acrylic three-tier stands.
He did me. I went to go get some later in the day, and he's like, "Nah, man, I've got one left." I said, "Oh, one box, perfect." He goes, "No, one."
One.
Damn it! I was hoping
we'll
come up with at least half a dozen or so, but they were very popular.
A five box that was wonderful. He did me a sweet price on those. He also donated for our 350th an acrylic to give away. That was awesome. One of the items I've been chasing all year long for about 12 months now is an Origin Snake Mountain. They've been tough to find. There must have been limited quantities coming into Australia. Every time they went up online, bang, sold out. But that's what I wanted to find. I wasn't hopeful. Walking around, couldn't see anything. And this is on the Saturday when everyone is sort of bumping in and setting up. So this is before vendors get in. I'm done. I haven't seen anything. I've been there for about 5 or 6 hours anyway. As I leave, I catch up with Sean Nates as he's setting up his table. And we're just having a chat. And he's like, hey, man, have a look at this. I've got the ramen machina here, the red gull wing. And he's showing me that, and that's heaps awesome.
I think Sean Fuster ended up picking that up.
No. Man in this room picked it up.
Oh, did you?
He did. As I'm talking to Sean, I look over his shoulder, and lo and behold, there's an Origin Snake Mountain still in the shipper box. Yeah, still in the shipper box. And I'm like... he's talking to me, and all I can do is concentrate on this toy in the background.
Sorry,
and I'm like, oh, he's got one. I don't care what he wants for it. I've got to buy this, right? Look, he's a genuinely good guy. He sold it for me for pretty much what retail was here as it was available. So, mate, thank you very much. You've ticked a huge box for me in my Origins collecting. Those were the two items I was after. I did find a couple of other items from the Origins range I hadn't picked up. The glow-in-the-dark Skeleton Warriors 2-pack. That was awesome. I did see there at another vendor the Snake Men 4-pack, where you get the four variations of the snakes that have been released and the Snake Catcher style He-Man. Really wanted that. Disagreed with the price that the vendor was asking for, so I just left it. I came back to the table and was having a bit of a chat to Trent, having a whinge and a complain about the price this fellow was asking for. And, well, you know those ridiculous prices that Trent was offering on his toys? Turns out he had a double of this pack in his collection. And I ticked yet another box I wasn't actually expecting to tick off. So
how good.
I ticked so many boxes in my Origin collection. I was super happy with what I got there. I caught up with Darren from Dark Oz, picked up a few extra comics from him. They were awesome. Brett had a fantastic 436 for me. First appearance of the Frightful Four.
I love these little comic deals that are going on. You know, like it's like, hey, look what I've got, you know, here. And then it opens up and there's this little, you know, it's not done out there. Yep. It's sort of it's just under the table. I loved watching that because that was going down. It was brilliant.
Yeah, super happy with the scores I got. I can't complain in any way, shape, or form. It was awesome.
Well done, bro.
Nicely done. Yeah, that snake pack was a funny story because I was wanting to get one from Pop Culture when it was out, and I was just doing the you know, get your cart, use the pennies, all that sort of planning. And the next time I went in, I put in an order. And I pressed it, and I ordered another one that I had it sitting in my cart that it remembered. I got two of them, and I really didn't want to. Anyway, so when Scotty mentioned, I'm like, I've got one that you can have it for a price you're not going to argue with. But I did pick up the Mac, and Sean Nates, absolute legend. He had really good prices on his stuff. And like Scotty said, you could pick up a lot of the Origin stuff you were missing.
Yep.
There was some, you know, Lady Slither was there, and there was that...
Talon Fighter as well.
Talon Fighter, all that sort of stuff. So it was really, really accessible. And the prices weren't, you know, terrible. So that was really exciting for me. But the Creme de la Resistance with Sean Nates had an extra machina. And I'd been tossing and turning on it. Hadn't bitten on it. And when I saw it in person, it was incredible.
It had to be done.
So it, even like... the box, it's got a flap that lifts up and it's all, you know, window box and beautiful. Then you close the flap, little magnet just locks the box back in. So the flap's not kind of...
Flapping around.
Yeah. It's all tucked in.
Unflappable.
It's unflappable. What you want. It's what you want from your prize. Yes. Right? Like, brilliant. So, and it was funny because I was talking to Matty Teal. And he was like, you were just saying a week ago
in our group
that you weren't getting this.
Yeah.
And then look what you've got in your latest scores.
It is, as opposed to clicking buy on a website, when you see it there and you can touch it and you go...
100%.
When you're not factoring any postage or anything.
Changes the game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Frank, what'd you get?
So I got some Argosy, and I don't know his name, I'll be completely honest, but the guy who does all the little knockoff Lego minifigures.
He's part of the Retro Rewind. Keep going, I'll work it out.
Express Collectibles?
Yeah, went to see him, and he now knows me, and he goes, oh, you're the Supergirl guy, right? Yeah. I was like, yes, I am. And he had a couple of variants of different hair on the Supergirl, or he also the Zack Snyder version, which has got the angry red eyes, which I didn't have, so that was really nice to pick up those. I got some little pre-made Lego police cars for Jack, and one was just sort of a standard car, another was like a paddy wagon, and then there was just this ridiculous police monster truck. Yeah. Right? And initially I said, how much for the monster truck? $30. And he goes, my son's really into like police and sort of Lego. This one goes, well, how much for all three? And he goes, $30? I was like, yes, let's do that.
Something like, with the math.
Yeah, so. I'm like, I'm not going to argue with that. So now I've got three police cars tucked away that I can, you know, piecemeal out over Christmas and birthdays that sort of stuff. So that was pretty cool. But the one that, Glenn is going to hate me for mentioning this, but the one that caught my eye straight away, and I sort of had to go look up the price and then come back to it, from 2003 Ninja Turtles. This is a four-pack. I've got in front of me here. This is the Ninja Knights. There's an arc in that show where they go back in time, and it's the, you know, Knights of the Round Table sort of era. These were all released single carded with vac metal parts, all their armor, all silver.
Yep.
This one is a four pack, all four turtles done in gold. So even the parts that aren't vac metal are done with sort of a bronze sort of look to the paint, but the vac metal parts are in gold. And the price on this was quite reasonable for what they were asking, and what compared to trying to go to eBay. Still in box, still sealed. Ben even knew the seller and did a solid for me, and went and chatted. You know, he goes, who had this? Oh, that guy. Yeah, he took my wedding photos. I'll go get a better price for you. Like, so thank you to Ben. Considering this box is, you know, over 20 years old at this point, it is in remarkable condition. I teased Glenn, just going, you know, I'm the guy who opens his toys, right? And Glenn's like, don't you do it. He goes, I was eyeing that off. He goes, you know, he goes, I'm glad it went to you, but also damn you. Like, I was going to buy that. So, yeah, one of these things that I never expected to find. Boxed 2003 Ninja Turtles, you just don't see anymore, let alone something like this, which is...
a gift pack.
Pack that is hard to find. It's
beautiful.
So, yeah. Very cool. That was
happy to help out, man. Happy to help out. I've got a few call-outs. So I got a few gifts, which is always, you know, fantastic. Get a few freebies. I got a little Ninja Turtle like sticker of Shredder from Ben Rosenthal, Hack the Dino guys. That was awesome. And Chad and Jimbo gave me a Fabuland book. I didn't even know they made it into the book series. So that was pretty cool. Got a couple of Twitches. My good old buddy from Toy Story 3 on the Motu Buck. So I got one mint on card from Trent, and then I found a loose one that was complete from another seller. Gold Star ultimate pickups for the day was definitely the Japanese box, you know, Turtle Mutations, you know, Shredder. So cool. That transforms into the
mutant module.
Oh, the Road Ready one.
The Road Ready one. So that was fantastic, boxed and things. And he pointed out a little scratch mark and stuff. I'm like, dude, for that price, I'm not going to even... you know, remark
so
on that.
So it's the Japanese run, so it's got all the Japanese, like, art, like text and stuff on it?
Yeah. It's been opened, but it's 100% complete.
Yeah.
I haven't even taken it out of the box yet. It's just sensational. Flip up card and everything. Yeah. And he had a whole heap of Beast Saga. So that was sort of the evolutionary link of Battle Beasts. They've got little dice in their chest. He had, like, a 3-pack and a 6-pack. Well, the 3-pack was boxed. The 6-pack was missing its box, but they were still in that plastic tray.
Yeah.
And so I've just gone and doubled my Beast Saga collection by buying those 9 figures from him. And he gave me, because, you know, Shredder and those lot, gave me a really awesome deal, bundle deal. And also, not forgetting all the money I dropped on, you know, old mate Glenn's table, Ultimate Figure Protection. Finally, after carrying my G1 box Soundwave around, moving houses, putting them in different areas of my collection. I reckon 20 years I've had that damn boxed figure. I've finally got him, you know, in an acrylic case.
Nice.
And that is just means the world to me that my favorite, you know, bot is now, you know, sealed behind that plastic. And also bought a whole heap of other acrylic cases and stands and little loose, you know, discs and things for my loose characters. And Glenn was just absolutely amazing. You know, I teed a shopping list up with him and he gave me a really good deal. I made sure that he brought everything I needed and he even gave me one of those, you know, cleaning cloths.
Yeah, we all got one.
So, yeah, massive shout out to Ultimate Figure Collection. Just so cool. I reckon I talk to him, you know, once every hour, had a good conversation with him.
He's a dude.
He's an absolute genuine lad. So awesome to catch up in person.
I had a Two-Face from Batman the Animated Series Kenner on my table for sale. Something like 35, 30 bucks, something like that. And a guy came up and he bought a few things and he's like, you know what I really want is Scarecrow. But there's a guy over there that has him, but he's not selling him. And I'm like, oh, that's Glenn. Glenn, yeah, he doesn't sell the figures. He sells the protective cases.
Yeah.
And anyway, he's like, I really want that Scarecrow. Anyway, he came back later and he goes, look, he's got a deal for you. He goes, if you sell Glenn that Two-Face, he's going to put the Two-Face in his case and he's going to sell me the Scarecrow. And I'm like, it was sort of what, you know, the mass diagram came up and I was trying to work it out because... What? The price was slightly different. Glenn wanted to get his money back on that, and it was maybe slightly less than whatever it was.
I just said,
look, take this over there. You work it out, you know, and then you come back with either $35 or whatever.
Or just run away.
Yeah. And to his credit, he paid Glenn, got the Scarecrow, swapped it out, and he came back, gave me some money, and it was all sweet.
Good story.
And I think Glenn got the better figure.
Everyone's a winner. Yeah. And they're the sort of deals that go down at the Adelaide Comic.
That's right. Three ways.
Yeah, the ones that the deals that are so complex it confuses the accountant.
Yeah, I couldn't work it out.
Biggest smile of the day goes to Sam Cripps.
Yes.
Amazing score. Like every toy fair, there is a story that comes out about someone who gets just that.
He's beaten Steve Reddy, has he?
Insane item. Whether it's a boxed Grayskull or a Shogun Warriors Godzilla, he ticked off a Grail item in his collection, a boxed Street Shark.
Yes.
Ben, you'll be able to tell me the name of the character.
Yeah. It was the Pool Shark Ripster.
Yeah.
The original Ripster. Not only was that the one figure Sam has been chasing. Sam goes to these toy fairs. All I'm looking for is Spawn and Street Sharks. Yeah. And that's about it.
Yeah.
And for him to not only find the last figure that he was after, but to find the damn thing boxed.
Yep.
Yeah. And that goes back to my previous conversation. People were bringing their decent toys out for this.
Yeah.
You never, ever see boxed Street Sharks in Adelaide. Like, Adelaide is just a small little... I put it into the category of they hit the forever homes and that's where they stay.
Yeah.
They never leave people's collections. And yet, these things, for whatever reason, are starting to come out of the attic or the, you know, the glass cabinet or whatever and being put on the tables... And it wasn't cheap. It was in the, you know, three-digit numbers Sam paid for it. But it was probably still a lot cheaper than what he would have paid for if he imported it from overseas. And again, that seeing it in person factor, touching it, you know, studying the quality of the box and everything. So, yeah, some huge smiles.
Oh, yeah. The biggest smile on Adelaide. And as far as I know, 2 weeks later, he's still got that smile on his face. Yeah, good stuff.
Beautiful.
Yeah. Brilliant work. All right. We're going to get into our last segment, which is an unboxing. So we have a beautiful package here. Thank you very much, Jay Harps, for sending this through. I'm going to crack this. I've got it here. I don't know. We can dive in. I can't remember. It's in here.
Looks like a bit of a note. A note here at the front.
Okay.
So this, I believe, is a combination of some stuff where Jay... put out a kind offer to say, hey boys, I know it's hard as Aussies for you to get some stuff from America. So he's here. It's a full page here. Gentlemen, I hope this package finds you well. I know it took longer than expected and for that I apologize. There's two flocked Moss men from Master Universe Origins, one for Scotty, one for Trent.
Are you opening yours?
Damn straight I'm opening mine.
Here you go. You can have this one. This box is a bit beat up. Look at that. It's got the Gigantosaur on the artwork there. Wow. That guy.
Very good.
Cool. Let it breathe, Scotty. Let it breathe. Thank you, Jay. Oh, he's cool. Yeah.
Genuinely, this is a figure that we saw go up on the Walmart pages and all across the US Origins sort of websites. And it was like, we're never going to see this in Australia. No one was going to bring this in as a figure to get. And Jay gave us an opportunity to tick another box in our Origins collections that we just never thought we'd be able to get. And if I smell this guy...
Does he smell like pine?
He smells like pine air freshener that you'd hang in the off the rear view mirror of your car.
This is actually fairly emotional for me because I did receive a carded Mossman for my fourth birthday. I can still remember getting him. I was traveling. I was in Germany at the time. And his face is so... comes with the Lords of Power version of Beastman repainted head. But the way they've done him with such a happy smile on his face and his eyes are facing forward because in the toy he was always facing the side and he looked a bit angry because he was kind of a straight repaint of the Beastman. So cool because he also comes with the weapons pack yellow armor that a lot of people put on him even though it was never part of the original toy. So very cool. Thank you so much, Jay. Mine's unpunched. It's beautiful. The box art as well is fantastic. It's even got that tree. That tree's in one of the mini comics.
Right.
I reckon that little guy there, it's got the three towers and it's got, you know, the prototype toy of that kind of sauropod dinosaur that's chest opens up when he stands on his two feet from one of the toy magazines.
Okay.
What a beautiful figure that is.
Pretty much a deluxe.
It's
figure.
A deluxe. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well done, Jay.
Thanks, Jay. Jay was also good enough to, and this is what part of my order, was the DC Multiverse DC Rebirth Supergirl figure from McFarlane, part of their gold label. A very classic looking Supergirl. It's got the red tights, actually, they go all the way up, not any sort of midriff showing or anything like that, with the blue and the red flight stand as well. So I look forward to cracking that one. And putting that as part of my collection. And the other one here for me, don't open that just yet, as per the instructions here. I've got the part of the missing piece of part of my Super 7 Ultimates Turtles. This is the Undercover Raph.
Ah.
This is one of the ones that I never sort of jumped on myself. I'll open that later. But essentially, Jay did say, he goes, it's one I've opened. Unfortunately, one of the buttons on the coat's come off. And I'm like, well, that sounds right. Like it's a turtle. Do you know what I mean? Like
that probably makes it look more authentic.
Meant to be a bit more authentic. He wouldn't have bought it new off the rack. He would have found it in the sewer. So thank you very much for that. Now, he does go on here to say, he goes, so I was stuck with a question. What do you get for the guys who have everything? He wanted to include something a little bit extra. So it took a bit longer than he thought, but came up with a pretty good solution. It's quite small, so don't worry, Ben. You should be okay.
Nice. Thank you.
So without further ado, I want to give you a one-of-a-kind Toy Power Podcast Dungeons & Dragons minis.
Okay, can I open this box
now? Yeah, away you go. Okay. So for Frank, there is the Shifter Monk. His two fists are as lethal as katanas.
Shifter Monk.
Scott has the High Elf Warlock. Gaining his powers from the Cloak of Doom he wears at all times.
Oh, dude.
Ben is the half-orc fighter, clad in armor. Ben is always ready to defend his friends. Just don't make him mad or he might start shredding.
Look at that. That's Scotty.
Look at that.
That's Scotty.
Yeah, you're the yellow. You're the Dick
Tracy. Oh, Dick Tracy, yeah.
And Trent is the Warforged Artificer, equipped with a bag of infinite bricks and knowledge on the none has ever seen.
That is so cool.
How good is that?
So just calling it out. This orc character is painted incredibly like Shredder. He's got Shredder armor. He's got the claws and things. He's got a cape. He's got the samurai outfit. Very minimal paint, but the paint that's on there highlights the attributes that Shredder has. You know, the color scheme, everything. So. Jay, thank you so much. This is just wild, fantastic. Dude. And there's a general theme around.
It's like
the
room. Leonardo.
Yeah, it's like, I've got like a ninja character doing a kick. He's holding a shuriken in one hand. He's got the blue head paint, head bandana on. Two swords on his back. That's unreal, mate.
I love that. And this is done in the Dick Tracy style of coat and hat, fedora there. That
He's
is
got the
brilliant.
Long hair like you as
yep,
well.
Yeah, that is fantastic. Backpacker bricks. I love it.
Unmistakably, this is the good doctor himself, Dr. Doom. And he is just absolutely wonderful. He is a majestic pose. He's got a dagger in one hand. He's holding up the spoils of his victory in the other. And it is just diabolically amazing. It is beautiful. Thank you, mate. This is a treasure. Much appreciated.
Yeah, no, that is wonderful. Custom and a lot of thought has gone into that. Yep. When we had them lined up, we knew exactly which
Who was
getting each one. Shout out to Hero Forge. It's a website where you can design your own D&D minifigure. And I've been playing around with that very, very intuitive interface. So we could, in fact, create our own toys.
Ooh.
And maybe...
Why would we want to do that?
Well, maybe, yeah. So,
wonderful. Yeah, Jay goes on to say, thanks for so much for your entertainment. Congrats on the recently big milestone. All that being said, thank you for using J-Harp shipping imports where the boxes might be late, but what's in them is great.
Oh, love it.
That's it.
Oh,
well done, Jay. Thanks so much, brother.
Thank you very much.
Awesome. And a recent winner from the 350. Yes. So he's got more goodies coming his way.
Yep. Well done.
Beautiful.
Very good. Oh, any final points to note? Super duper.
Super duper.
Super duper. All done and dusted for another week. Yep.
No, I think we're done. This went longer than the live stream, didn't
Did it?
This was meant to be a short, sharp.
I thought this was a half hour punchy, highbrow news.
I'm glad I didn't add more news topics.
Yeah. Where was that glow in the dark Jokerized McFarlane with
need
tentacle
to talk about that, don't we?
Next episode.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, we'll catch up.
All right.
Yeah, as the numbers keep increasing through the 350s, we'll get back to the McFarlane band.
Okay. We'll be back. Thank you very much, everyone, for tuning in to another episode of Toy Power. To all our patrons, thank you so much for your support and chatter on the Discord. We hope everyone stays safe, takes care of one another, and we will see you around the toy aisles.
And until next time, good journey!
You can find the Toy Power team at all the usual online places. Facebook.com/ToyPowerPodcast, at Toy Power Podcast on both Twitter and Instagram, or have your say and email us, ToyPowerPodcast@gmail.com. Subscribe to the show on both iTunes and Stitcher, and please leave us a review. Otherwise, we just assume we're awesome.